Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Oh, and I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast. Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week again now.
We're back 5 days a week, 7 a.m. Well, usually 7 a.m. This week we're coming at you after the practice media availability, but during the season, 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Make it your first listen. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Start your day with us. We'd love it. Anyways, kicking things off today, we are going to talk about the practice media availability. We got to hear from Reggie Jackson, Justice Winslow, as well as head coach Ty Lue. And we got kind of a bombshell about the starting lineup, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. And then in segment two, we're back to 5 days a week, so it's back to Twitter Tuesday. No more What You Want to Know Wednesdays. No more craziness as far as the Twitter is concerned. Basically, every single Monday, we're going to be asking for your questions on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips. Thank you so much to everyone who sent those in ahead of time. Can't wait to get into that. And then in shavings, look, we saw some images of what could be a Clippers earned edition jersey. It was fake, but it, you know, sometimes these things are an indication of the way that things are trending. So we are going to talk about that as well. And then also, I mean, look,
we got to talk about this.
The vaccine conversation has like once again come to the forefront because of some of the stance of certain NBA players. So we're going to kind of talk about like sort of the implications for the mandate and what it could mean for the upcoming NBA season. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we had some post-practice media availability today from some of the guys, which was good to see, and Ty Lue. First of all, just kind of a vibe check. Everyone seems so excited to be back playing basketball. with everybody. The energy was fantastic. Reggie Jackson spoke first. So much goggle talk in this this post-game or post-practice media availability. Apparently he has elite eyesight. Like someone asked, like, do you have bad eyesight? Like, are these prescription? What's the deal? It's truly just a comfort thing, like peace of mind. He has a scratch on his eye that he can sometimes like feel, which seems very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I know that it was initially the scratch from the game in Phoenix. I guess I wasn't clear from his media availability if he's still feeling that or if it's now just become like a comfort thing.
Yeah, I think it might be a little of both. I'm not sure how. I've had a scratch cornea before, and it really does hurt, but he's in much better shape than I am, so I assume that also happens with your eyes as well. But now he says he fully realized that they're kind of part of his identity, which is awesome. It's like we got the mismatched shoes, and we have the goggles now, which seems good. The best part, I think, of his post-game, post-practice interview, was he talked about how he didn't really realize how big of a fan base he had until like the last Clippers game.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on this podcast before. I was absolutely moved by the way this fan base embraced Reggie and his role in the playoffs. I know, you know, we would have liked to have a healthy Pat, and there were, you know, some extenuating circumstances, but Reggie,
right.
I mean, we've talked about it multiple times. Like, he was the majority starting point guard for this team. And I thought it really did a bang up job. And things are going to be changing a little bit in the backcourt in the starting lineup, which we will talk about later. It was just great to see. He gave a shout out to PG and talked about how Paul George has done a really great job of working out with different guys over the summer. We talked about this after PG's media availability yesterday. If you haven't checked out that episode yet, do that because there was a lot of great stuff. But it seems already, you know, like through two media availabilities that Paul George is taking on this role, not only as the de facto number one, but as a locker room leader in a way that I don't know if he necessarily felt that he had the agency to do before. So I think that that's like, I think that's a really, really cool thing.
Yeah, it was. And not that like Kawhi was in his way or anything like that, but now it feels like there's maybe just more empowerment after all that happened last season.
I think he's more sure of himself.
Yeah. Dominic Coles was tweeting about this at us. He was like, dude, it feels like everyone just loves playing for each other, like even more so than like the 18-19 team or something like that. And I think it has to do with what they overcame last year. And you're right, kind of Paul George realizing that he can do these things. Reggie also added that he likes the big government name, so shout out to Justin Russo for that. However, it did have to be explained to him at first, which makes total sense. If you're being called big government, you got, got some questions. He kind of reminisced on how appreciative he was that the fans recognized he was leaving it all on the floor. He said, "Oh, they're chanting my name? I'm so thankful," which was great. And now Justice Winslow spoke second, but let's move to Ty Lue because we got to talk about the starting lineup talk from Ty Lue today. He envisions the starting five being Reggie, Bledsoe, PG, Mook, and Zoo. And we got to give a tip of the hat to Will Updike for pretty much assuming this might have happened earlier. I mean, this isn't that big of a surprise, I don't think, given Bledsoe's capabilities and Reggie's capabilities.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about this in the offseason, and when I initially did sort of my offseason lineup previews, I kind of thought, like, they would lean towards, switching out a forward and losing Kawhi with another forward, maybe moving Batum into the starting lineup. He can play make a little bit, great defender. But once you and I had kind of a deep dive on Bledsoe and his career starts, and sort of just kind of were thinking a little bit more critically about how he and Reggie really in the backcourt are such great compliments for one another.
For sure.
I've kind of been unable to, stray away from this idea of them starting together. And I know it hasn't been super popular when we floated the idea initially in the fan base.
Right.
But I hope that people come around to this because I think that this both can maximize both guys' skills.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, Bledsoe can do a lot for what Reggie lacks. And, right. Likewise, Reggie can add space. He's another playmaker. He can do a lot to take out the good parts of Bledsoe's game, to kind of coax the things that he's good at. And I think also moving Batum to the bench stabilizes that bench a lot more, especially, over the stretches of minutes where Paul George is not on the floor.
Yeah, so that, I mean, off the bench, you think about it, you got like the first three, I guess, is probably in no particular order, Luke, Mann, Batum, which I'm not mad with those, those three being out there together. I think one thing about Bledsoe and Reggie that I'm excited about is that Ty Lue referenced that the Clippers were bottom five in pace last season, and he said he wanted to work on that without Kawhi there. He says Bledsoe can help with that. So I think we're going to see a faster Clippers offense maybe to start the season. We don't know how much Ty Lue is going to tinker and stuff like that, but I'm excited for this. I think preseason is going to show us a lot, and I think Reggie and Bledsoe are really going to complement each other well. Like you mentioned, Bledsoe looks huge after this offseason.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, we got a pretty big, after Reggie, Bledsoe, PG, Mook, and Zoo is a pretty large lineup. So you think about almost, think about the versatility with this. You put in Serge for Zoo. You maybe, have Bledsoe be the one, PG be the two, and have Batum at the three, Mook at the four. Like, there's so many possibilities with this, and I'm really hyped for it. Ty Lue also said the biggest challenge really in this training camp is just getting Justice and Bled up to speed, because everyone else kind of knows what's going on, right? Like, they've all been here. That was really the biggest takeaway, I think, from this media availability, is that Bledsoe right now is projected as the starting two.
It doesn't matter. One, two. I mean, whatever.
They're all threes, except for Zoo, who's a five.
I guess technically, yeah, Bledsoe is definitely a more true point than Reggie. Reggie is a little bit more of a shooting guard. So I it's a little bit semantics to me at this point.
Right.
But we'll see.
Especially with Ty Lue watching all that overseas basketball, it's very positionless there.
Zoo's the point guard now.
Yeah, exactly. Justice Winslow spoke too, which was cool because he was not immediate day. He emphasized that he's kind of just in the building and working out and needs to be a defensive playmaker. He mentioned having the ball in his hands as a way to do this. And I'm wondering if this is alluding to anything that they've maybe discussed on how to maximize him when he's out there with a fuller bench lineup.
Yeah. So once again, I do feel like this is playing to your strengths. If you're removing a ball handler with the IQ that Bledsoe has from that second unit, I still don't think that he's as good of a ball handler as, Luke Kennard or Nick Batum.
Right.
But certainly, it does open up things for him a little bit more to have the option to play call a little bit with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, it'll be cool. you know, just talked about how he needs to find other guys' tendencies. He mentioned he and Dan Craig have a connection from their time in Miami. And he said that he's confident and comfortable in that relationship and that he's been fully healthy for 2 to 3 months. So, I mean, love that. These are all good things coming from Justice Winslow. So I'm excited to see, you know, what can happen. But, you know, have to be pretty hyped on Winslow. Excited to see if how much of that point forward stuff actually, you know, comes to fruition.
Yeah. And it's nice that he has like somebody kind of in the coaching staff. And just being a consummate vet, just with sort of like what Ty Lue was talking about, getting these guys up to speed. When you already have a little bit of a familiarity, I'm sure you have like a common vocabulary.
Oh, yeah.
For like how you, you know, how you communicate on court, which I do think can kind of speed up some of those relationships versus it being, you know, a completely new situation.
A brand new guy, as Schoolbook you would say. Coming up, we're going to be answering some fantastic questions from some Clippers Twitter celebrities. We got a whole bunch of big people on here. But first, we got to give a shout out to Rock Auto. With the ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. They're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Check out what you need. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. You can see all the parts easily. Not overwhelming. It's fantastic. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking Twitter Tuesday. Want to once again thank everybody who sent those questions in ahead of time. If you'd like a chance to get your question featured on this show, go ahead, shoot those over, preferably on a Monday. We're over there at Locked On Clips. We'll be looking for those questions. So let's just jump into it. Clippers content wants to know, besides 213, what vets do you think will have the biggest impact on our rookies' development? I think the one that is immediately jumping out to me is going to be Nick Batum. Oh, yeah. I thought that it was really cool to see him and Terrence Mann speaking together at the first day of media availability. And he talked about Terrence's potential. And I think it was pretty clear that he has been an influence on Terrence Mann and sort of how he can make an impact on both ends of the floor. So that's the one that's jumping out to me. What do you think? Who do you got that's going to be a great vet voice in the locker room now with the loss of Patrick Beverley?
I know Batum is such, it's a good answer, right? I'm really excited to see, and this is kind of an interesting one, Winslow. I want to know what role he's going to take, kind of taking guys under his wing. He's not exactly, you know, an older guy, but he's been in the league, for a fair amount of years and has an up and down career. Other than that, like Marcus Morris, I think will do a lot of good stuff for this locker room. I don't know if it's going to be as, and I don't mean this in a negative connotation, as like public as how Batum does it, if that makes sense. I'm not saying one is a better way to do it, but I would not be surprised that at the end of the year, if a lot of the young guys mention, you know, like Mook being that guy for them or something like that, where it's not necessarily stuff we see as fans, but stuff that happens inside the locker room when other people aren't around. So I think Marcus Morris is going to be big on that too.
Definitely. And I think I think of Marcus Morris, I think that he's always a champion for his teammates. You know, by all accounts, he's a great locker room guy. I think that there are elements of his game, especially on the defensive end, that you could pick up or kind of learn. But really, a huge part of Marcus Morris's game is just being a dead-eye shooter. And like, sure, you can like watch his work and try to put in that same amount. But at the end of the day, like some people are going to have that stroke and some people are not.
Right.
So there's some elements to his game that like maybe aren't as teachable. But I think that's a good one. I think that he's definitely a good locker room presence. I'm kind of hoping with this starting sort of backcourt of Reggie and Bledsoe, we can kind of get back to that like fire and ice, like Patrick Beverley, kind of thing. Like Bledsoe kind of being that Pat Bev type of role. Maybe seeing him as a little bit more of a hothead, and then Reggie just being cool as hell, man.
He's got the fouls, man. He's got to use them. Shout out Clippers content. Go follow Clippers content on Twitter. Jamal Christopher, fantastic Twitter account. Go check out Jamal. Also check him out on Instagram. Fantastic recording artist. He asks, who is the Clippers' most vital scorer this season behind Paul George? Is it, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, is it Marcus Morris? He's more of
the proven. I think it's got to be.
He's proved it, you know, like that he can score 20 a game at a high level more so than any of the other guys. And in our starting lineup, we're going to need another 20-point punch.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be – he's going to be dependent on a lot. You know, sometimes, once again, as I mentioned, he is a shooter. It's like a huge part of his game. So there will be ups and downs, of course. But I'm also looking to see, like, what the consistent type of level of production right. we're going to be able to get offensively from both Reggie and now Bledsoe. Bledsoe can definitely get to the rim. He can assist and help his teammates there. And then, you know, Reggie can kind of, I mean, he can kind of score all over. So I'm curious to see if he can get to that playoffs number of around 18 a game, maybe even lift it a little bit with more playing time and a more sort of defined role. I think that is going to be the thing this season that, yes, we do have to integrate two new players, one into the starting lineup, which isn't necessarily easy. But right. I do think that, the pecking order is maybe going to be a little bit more clearly defined this season. Just, you know, without two number ones or A1 or
whatever,
however you want to do it. Cause both of those guys, you know, can create with the ball in their hands. They can play make a little bit. And I think that's good, but sometimes, there's a thing that's called like decision fatigue. And,
and we've seen it with the Clippers where you're like, okay, we're passing the ball. This looks great. Let's make a decision with it though.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, sort of constraining those things a little bit, especially for a team that's down guys and has really defined role players, I think sort of getting that clarification of role is going to be really helpful for everyone.
Yeah. Dominic Coles, with a very pertinent question, asks, what's your thoughts on starting Bledsoe alongside Reggie? I think Reggie did great in the catch and shoot role. I'd only be concerned with Paul George rhythm. Well, Dominic, as you know, we and Ty Lue both think and assume that Bledsoe will start with Reggie. I like the second point though about Paul George's rhythm. And I'm wondering if Dominic means more so, because that's probably taking the ball out of PG's hands in terms of like initiating the offense more if we have these two guys in the backcourt. So I think it's going to be a game by game thing. This is Tinker and Ty Lue. Like I think he's going to know if it's there, if it's not there from PG in terms of like the rhythm with the ball handling and what's working that night. So I think we'll just have to hope that those decisions and adjustments on the fly end up working out early in the season. I should be more specific.
Yeah, definitely. So I actually think that Bledsoe actually alleviates some of the pressure from Paul George's game. I would actually be a little bit more worried about his rhythm with just Reggie in the backcourt. And this is not a knock on Reggie, right. But he's not like he hasn't thus far in his career been like the facilitator that Bledsoe has. And that puts mm-hmm. a lot more pressure on Paul George to both score and kind of play make, which is a lot to do on the offensive end consistently, right. especially considering what he's going to have to do defensively this season. So I don't think that it necessarily damages his rhythm. I think that the intent most nights is going to be to get Paul George going early.
Yes. Hopefully.
And if for whatever reason, like if he's not in rhythm or he's not feeling it or he just can't find the shot, this gives us a few more options in my eyes versus, having just, I don't want to say just, but
I know,
having just another forward out there versus another, like a true point.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Scoop_Clippers with two S's on the end says, do you think we need to have a four center rotation? I feel we are wing heavy, but it makes sense because both guys got injured last season. So I don't know about this. I think it might still have to be three. If we keep both Giles and Hartenstein, I think we got to cut somebody, which would probably be Amir. And we are wing heavy, but Zoo's 100%, as we've been told he's 100%. Serge, definitely not 100%. And I think with the youth in Giles and Hartenstein, depending on who's healthier coming out of camp and who's looking good, I think we would be okay with three. What, I don't know, where are you, do you think we need four? Do we need to keep four? Like
not necessarily. And I think that of the two younger guys, it seems like, and this is judging mainly from media availability and photos that I've seen from the press team, that if it's one of the two centers, it seems like they're leading Harden. They're leaning Hartenstein out of the two. But, you know, TBD. I don't think it could hurt, just depending. I think that the front office is going to be very cautious with Serge's return timetable, especially, especially in a year that like is a year for development, right? So if you can sort of develop another young center in addition to Zoo, like you're in a really good spot regardless of what Serge chooses to do next season. And I think the other thing to think about too is I'm not sure how often we're going to see small ball lineups in the regular season.
Yeah.
And so if we're
super rare last season.
Yeah. So if we're kind of taking that off the table in the regular season, I don't think that there's any harm in having a little bit of extra depth at the position.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested about this center situation. Agent Alvin asks, do we know if anyone isn't vaccinated? Are we going to end up having players that can't play in certain cities? So based on Steve Ballmer's comments saying he wouldn't put a prediction on if the Clippers will be fully vaccinated by opening night, I'm going to go ahead and say I think we kind of in the larger sense know that not everybody is vaccinated, because if everyone's vaccinated, you just say, oh, well, I'll predict it right now. Everyone is vaccinated, so we're good to go. Like, I don't think you say what Ballmer said with a full vaccination percentage. So I have to kind of, based on that comment, assume that there's at least one person who isn't vaccinated. Is that crazy?
No.
I mean, yes, it's crazy to not be vaccinated, but like, I don't think it's crazy to think that.
No, I mean, the team is not at a 100% vaccination rate. I don't think that until it becomes a factor in the season, we're truly going to know exactly where that's at with the team. I mean, look, we're going to talk about this later in the last segment, but yeah, I think that if players aren't vaccinated, of course it's going to affect their teams. Of course, it would make sense that if you were, a city that was either struggling with COVID rates or, you know, or on the opposite end of the spectrum, keeping things really low, that you wouldn't really be comfortable to accepting travelers coming into huge stadiums full of people, assumingly vaccinated people or people who are deemed far enough away to not be, a factor. It makes sense that's not something you would want to encourage or even accept if you're a home team accepting travelers.
Yeah, let's hope they get fully vaccinated. Joseph Raya Ward wants to know, why are you freezing me out of the show? And I'll tell you what, he knows what he did.
We've had enough.
Joseph Fry Award knows what he did. Enough is enough.
Out there and you're a Locked On Clippers fan, tweet at Joseph Fry Award, at Clips at Podcast. Enough is enough.
Yeah. Hashtag enough is enough, Joseph Fry Award. You did this. Coming up, we're going to be talking a fake jersey that leaked but got people hyped, and then kind of a sense of dread about the upcoming vaccine arguments. But first, hey, I bet you guys didn't know that in 2018, the fantasy sports experts over at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on who players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games play between opponents. This is a fantastic way to play fantasy basketball, a lot easier. If you like fantasy football, you're going to love Game Picks. It's basically just like that. You pick how many guys you want based on their matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, and so much more. Whether you play redraft, keeper, or dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. And after you downloaded Sleeper, where can you bet online?
Oh, the best place to bet online is betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season right now in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Look, you don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the game. This is your chance as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus that's on top of your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON.
All right, so we're back. Welcome to Shavings. We're talking, there was a fake Clippers Earned Edition leaked. I don't know if you can leak a fake jersey, but it was making the rounds on Clippers Reddit as well as Clippers Twitter. It was, you know, it was an all red jersey, which satisfies the clamoring for the all red jersey with Los Angeles on the front. Yes, this was a fake. It was not a very like thrilling looking jersey. It looked basically like a Houston Rockets jersey. With Clippers.
Yeah, that was what a lot of people had to say in the comments of it, is that it looked a lot like kind of a Rockets jersey.
Which I would not be surprised if the Clippers, because like I want to see the Clippers bring not only some red back into the jerseys, but a little more zhuzh, for lack of a better word. A little more, you know, like I love the Mr. Cartoon jerseys. Those are fantastic for the city. I love them. But let's bring a little something fun, you know? There's also a weird, there's a lack of jerseys that just say Clippers on them, like the name of the team, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if I'm an idiot for thinking that, but I was like, you know, maybe a jersey that said Clippers would be cool. I hope they bring back the red jersey. I like to see the red jersey with the white, like 70s font that Bape did a collab with, like the kind of bigger script C and that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Do you want a red jersey? What are you looking for in these next, whether it's earned or city or whatever new edition jersey?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like another kind of more significant departure. I think that you're onto something with either the script or like a throwback to like the San Diego Clippers, which I've said, I mean, I think every time the opportunity for a new jersey comes up. I don't know. I think that, look, I think that the redesign that the Clippers did, it makes sense. You know, they had to do it, especially given what was going on in the organization at the time.
Right.
Of course. I don't want to say that it was rushed, but it feels a little sterile at times. And I think that it'd be cool to, like you were saying, just add like a little bit more pizzazz, a little more panache to these, like to these jerseys. I mean, like definitely the Mr. Cartoon one is good, and I like that it's still like understated, like they don't go too over the top. Mm-hmm. But for these earned edition ones, man, come on, like we had the best year in franchise history, like we earned it, like let's do something.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with that. No word on when these are gonna come out. The 76ers had a jersey leak recently, so I think we're in kind of jersey leak time of the
year. I liked the look of the Sixers one. I thought it was clean.
Yeah, it was goofy clean, if that makes sense. It's kind of a goofy shape, but that looked good. Shout out to the Clippers.
I think one of their sponsors, or at least a sponsor for that jersey and the rendering, was crypto.com.
Dude, what is going on with the jersey sponsors? Maybe the Clippers will get sponsored by just Bitcoin. We can just be sponsored by Bitcoin.
7-Eleven, baby.
I would love that. All right. And now just to kind of close the pod, this is just some kind of just us as pure fans talking as a whole. Do you feel a sense of dread when it comes, like we're already in the middle of these vaccine arguments during the upcoming season? Woj tweeted that the NBA had proposed a vaccine mandate, but it was rejected by the Players Association. A lot of reasons for this. That's not really surprising to me that got rejected. Like, I think any mandate for something like that in any league is probably going to be rejected. But the fact that we kind of have like Bradley Beal kind of doing his best like Cole Beasley impersonation, and like Steph Curry being visibly upset in an interview when asked about Andrew Wiggins not being vaccinated.
Oh man, like, that's a great clip. If you're listening and you haven't seen that, look on Twitter for Steph Curry's reaction when he's
what's
asked.
What's the quote? Like, they're like, is it interesting that he's not that like some people aren't vaccinated? He's like, interesting isn't the right word for it. Like, it's just like, it feels a little like we're headed towards, and pardon my French, a complete fucking nightmare.
Yeah. So I look, here's the
not
thing.
Not for all teams, but just like, this is such a big issue.
I totally understand, you know, like not wanting to do something just because like you feel pressure from everybody else to, but like all these guys are talking about doing the research. Okay. So what research are you doing? Like what, like, have you hired someone to like
it's
do an independent
real,
study? Like
which
what
is
like,
so frustrating.
Yeah. Like, is your research just saying no?
Yeah, basically, Bradley Beal was like, you know, no one ever talks about the people who have adverse reactions from the vaccine. And it's like, sure. I mean, sure. Do you want to talk about it? Like, no player has missed a game.
You have a platform. Go ahead and, go ahead and speak your mind, I guess.
And the privacy thing gets me too, because there's this thing where it's like, I'm respecting my privacy with the nature of this vaccine. And it's like, it's not privacy when it's a pandemic, right? Like, this prevents people getting it. It helps prevent it. And it prevents you from having more extreme symptoms and passing it off. Like, I don't know, man. I hope all our guys can play in all the cities this year. Like, that might be a real thing for some NBA teams.
It's also just a thing too. Like, I mean, we've already had one entire season shut down. We had a season, over half a season with no fans. That couldn't have been the most fun if you're a player. I don't know. I obviously people are entitled to their own opinions, and I think that is fine. But I do think that there's maybe like a lack of like empathy or collective understanding for like the greater community surrounding the player.
Mm-hmm.
From the player, you know what I mean? It also just reminds me of that, I think it's a New Yorker cartoon where it's like a guy yelling at his wife from his computer and he says, "Honey, I found a bunch of information that every scientist and doctor missed."
Yeah, it's just those vibes. Like, you got like Jonathan Isaac watching Trump speeches and being like, "Wow, I guess I just don't trust Dr. Fauci now." And you're like, dude, I guess, like, whatever. But let's hope it all gets figured out. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that the vaccine mandate, the players association was never going to accept that. I don't think the NFL did either. So like any vaccine mandate, I think is going to be difficult for a league to pass. But yeah, I mean, this goes back to that question we had. We just hope all the Clips get vaxxed up before the start of the season. If anyone needs some research to do, I don't know. Like, I also, we didn't talk about this, but I just reminded this. D'Angelo Russell's dumbass tweeted out Kyrie is goated after Kyrie did all that. And it's like, dude, you read the room. Like, you play with Karl Anthony Towns, who is, I mean, someone who's been through, I don't want to say the most, but pretty damn close to the most when it comes to COVID and losing people because of COVID. So it just seems like there might be a storm coming. But hey, let's hope cooler heads prevail. Let's hope everyone gets all vaxxed up and that good stuff. So there's no, you know, horrible situations within the NBA.
D'Angelo for Ben Simmons incoming?
Who knows? Maybe. God, yeah. D'Angelo. We might be able to get Ben Simmons for Chuck the Condor, I think, at this point. He hates Philadelphia so much. Wednesday's episode, we're doing more media availability. I think I'm going to be solo for that episode. So buckle up. I'm going to do a whole segment on Joseph Fry Award. What you say Wednesday poll over at Locked On Clips, so look out for that. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, now that we're back 5 days a week, where can these highly intelligent listeners tell their friends to listen to our pod?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works. It's great. Hey, if you wanted to help the show out, you could leave a rating or review over at iTunes or on the podcast app, regardless of where you listen. 5 stars really helps the show out. We mentioned it up top, but we're back to coming at you 5 days a week, which we're really excited about. This week, because of the media availability, the releases are going to be like a little bit dicier, just because we're going to be doing them after that media availability. Mm-hmm. So you can get all that information from the day. So just check your feed, check for us throughout the day. And, you know, as we continue into the season, we really hope to have your listen.
We absolutely would. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. As always, we appreciate you.